Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find more than halfway down the page, if you like counting lines, 19 lines up from the bottom. Before we begin the actual Mishnah, which you may notice is broken down into several parts, on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. Nosei is a topic heading, Mivneh a structural note, with Roman numerals 1 through 3. They represent Gimel Dugmos, three examples, Shel Yibum Be'odom Shehoya Nosui Lishtei Noshim, regarding the topic of Yibum with regard to a man who died leaving two wives. There are many different examples within the Mishnah, so we're not going to outline them right now, but the man died leaving two wives. Haim Bi'osa O Chalitzosa Shel Achas Poteres Tzorosa. Will the actual Yibum or the Chalitza done with one of them exempt the other? Of course, in a regular case, in a normal situation where a man has two wives, so the mitzvah of Yibum is that one wife is married and the other is free to marry anyone she likes. Or if the surviving brother doesn't marry one of them, but does Chalitza, likewise, Chalitza with one of them exempts the other from any further connection. There's no more zika and no more bond that remains, and she too can marry anyone she likes. On the other margin, we have a little note called Chalukas HaMishnah, a breakdown of the Mishnah, so that in category 1, we indicate Shtei HaShavos, the two wives are on the same footing. And that has a practical bearing. Kol achas yichoylo liftor es chaverta. When the two wives are on the same legal footing, so the either the intimacy with one or the chalitza done with one will exempt the other. In the second section of the Mishnah, we can say af achat yichola liftor chaverta. The women are on different footing, so that the action done by the surviving brother with one of them does not exempt the other one. And in category 3, rak achas yichoylo liftor chaverto. There it's imbalanced in the sense that one of the wives, as we will see, one of them will be able to exempt the other, whereas not so with the other one. Now, that might sound a bit abstract without examples, so let us waste no time and go right into the Mishnah. Mishahoya Nosui, Lishtei, Yisoymois Ktanois, Umeis. A man had been married to two girls. They were, you'll see the term in Rashi, Nochrios. Nochrios means they're unrelated, as opposed to cases involving sisters. These are two unrelated women that are minors. They're under the age of 12. So we're dealing with a rabbinic marriage, and the husband died, leaving these two young girls as widows. Bi'osa o chalitzosa shel achas mehem poteres tzorosa. The action of chalitza, and Rashi adds after she becomes an adult, because we're working with that shita that holds chalitza requires adulthood, namely over 12 years old, in order for it to be meaningful. So the chalitza, or the intimacy, the actual marriage with one of them, will exempt the other. V'chein shtei chayrshosen, similarly with a case where the two wives are on the same footing, they're both deaf mutes. Ketana v'chareshes, man is married to two wives and dies, leaving a ketana and a chareshes. Ein bias achas mehen poteres tzorosa. the intimacy with one does not exempt the other. And Rashi succinctly points out, Ketana v'chareshes, we read the Rashi, Lo yadinon behei nichole, behei chashivo ishtotfe. We don't know, with regard to the man who died, which one of these two was more favorable in his eyes as a wife. Which one is considered more of a wife? Number three, Pichis v'chareshes. Man was married to two women. One was normal, Pichis, a normal woman, and the other was a chareshes. Bias a Pichis poteres a chareshes, vein bias a chareshes poteres es a Pichis. The surviving brother, if he chooses to do Yibum with the Pichis, so that will exempt the chareshes. Nothing is needed further. However, if he chooses to do Bia with the chareshes, and we know that the chareshes was on a lower footing, a lower level in the eyes of the deceased. She's less desirable. So to suggest that this was his real, full-fledged wife would be preposterous. Therefore, if the surviving brother does bia with her, it won't exempt the preferable type woman from the, it won't exempt her from the zika bond. So as we said in our introduction, you can see this is very one-sided. The intimacy with the Pichis will exempt the Chareshes, but the intimacy with the Chareshes will not exempt the Pichis. Another example of imbalance, Gedolu Ktana, a man is married to two wives. One is an adult, the other is a minor. The assumption, once again, is that a person would prefer to be married to the Gedola than the Ktana. Bias Hagdola Poteres Aktana, Yibum done with the Gedola will exempt the Ktana, Vein Bias Aktana Poteres Hagdola. And like we saw with regard to the Chareshes case, the Bia with the Ketana will not exempt the Gedola. You'll notice that in contrast to Chareshes, the term Pichis is used, the Pichis being a normal wife. And in contrast to Ketana, the term Gedola is used. But the Gedola also represents a case of a normal-type woman. The Gemara, before we begin it, we glance at the side, we have a Nosei. Within this section, we'll see two tshuvos, two answers. La she'elo ha'im chareshes bas chalitzahi. A deaf mute. Can she participate in chalitza? Is her chalitza meaningful? So you see we have a little arrow, so this enables you to see above what we want to allude to in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had mentioned that the man was married to two wives, they were, let's say, both chershos, so the bia or the chalitza with one will exempt the other. So that means that a chareshes is party or subject to chalitza. The chareshes bas chalitza, is a chareshes capable of doing chalitza? V'hotnan, cheresh shenechlatz, v'chareshes shecholza, v'choletzes min hakoton, chalitza subsula. Three examples here. We've dashed underlined the main one. Chareshes shecholza, that's a deaf mute woman that does the shoe removal. She does the chalitza. The source culminates with it being considered psula. It's not effective. So how do you resolve this Mishnah with the previous, with what we saw in our Mishnah? Omar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, A Bia. The source above that said v'chein shtei chareshos, where they were, the Mishnah was paralleling the chareshos to the case of the ketanos, was only with regard to the Bia. And you notice in the Mishnah, we deliberately dot underline that word. So it's only regarding the bia do we say that the two chareshes are parallel to the two ktanois. Not so with regard to chalitza. With regard to chalitza, the ktana, when she becomes an adult, does chalitza, but a chareshes never will do chalitza. Rabba omar filu tema a chalitza. Rabba says in the Mishnah above, you could parallel the two chareshes to the ketanos with regard to chalitza as well. The source, however, that indicated a chareshes is not party to chalitza, kan B'chareshes me'ikoro kan b'pikris v'achar kach nischarsha. And the Gemara continues to explain. But let's point out there are two different cases, two situations. One is a woman born a deaf mute, and the other is a woman that was healthy when she got married, but later on developed into a deaf mute. The Gemara, as we say, explains, Chareshes me'ikoro, a woman who was a deaf mute at the outset, ki hechi da'ul hochi nofank. As she entered, a chareshes is incapable of speech, naturally, she's a deaf mute, and as she was able to enter the marriage, and that was through all kinds of motions, hints, indications, physical indications of approval of the marriage, but the main thing, it's not through any speech. So as, however she was able to answer, Rashi uses the expression biramiza, so too she leaves the yavam, she leaves the yibum bond with remiza, with some type of motions indicating her thoughts. Pichis v'achar kach nischar shaloi de'ma'akva bo kriya. The case of a woman who was normal, healthy, when she entered the marriage, and then subsequently became a deaf mute, there we don't say remiza will be sufficient. There we say that the reading becomes a binding factor. So in contrast to the Chareshes Meikora, where reading was never an option, so here, since she entered her marriage in a state of normalcy, she entered with the potential for reading. Now that that is non-existent, now that it's been taken away because of her sickness of her becoming a deaf mute, that factor, since it was once a possibility, remains a binding factor. Now we have a new marking, and on the side of the Gemara we have a nosei mivne, topic heading with the structural note combined into one. Kushios al ha di omar rabo de chareshes meikora bas chalitzahi. We're going to challenge that which Rabo said, that a chareshes meikora is a bas chalitzah. And you'll notice that this is a very long discussion. It goes down Omid Beis, starting at the second line. That is, here you see a house marking a challenge to Chareshes Meikor being Bas Chalitza. On the second line from the top, we're going to challenge that again, where we're going to cite a source, we're going to infer from the source whatever we do, and the result of the inference will be that Chalitza is not an option for a Chareshes Meikor. And as we go on in the Gemara again and again, we're going to go through a similar type analysis where we present Tanaic sources which point in the direction of Chareshes Meikora not being a Bas Chalitza. And hence each time, this will represent a challenge to Rabba. Just to review the point that Rabba was addressing, Rabba had to explain our Mishnah where Chareshes was presented as someone who was capable of Chalitza. And that presented to us a problem in light of the fact that it's another Mishnah that said a Chareshes is not capable of Chalitza. Rabba answered, in the case of a Chareshes Meikora, there we say she is a Bas Chalitza. Well, let's now proceed with the questions. This is a long question. It takes us to the top line of Omid Beis. Esfei Abaye, v'chareshes me'ikora bas chalitza hi. Is that in fact true? V'hotnan, we have a case, a Mishnah that presents a number of different cases. Shnei achin, two brothers. When you see two brothers, of course that's a setup for a yibum situation, the death of the one leaving no children. We then have to know what to do with his widow. So there are two brothers, Echad Pikeach ve'Echad Chereish. One of the brothers is normal, and the other is a deaf mute. Nisuin l'shtei nochreos, two unrelated women. Achas Pikeach ve'Achas Chereishes. One is normal, and the other is a deaf mute. The normal woman is married to the normal man. The deaf mutes are married to one another. Meis Cheresh Baal Chareshes. The Cheresh husband died, leaving the widow Chareshes. Ma Yase Pikech Baal Pikchis. What should the normal fellow, the brother, the normal fellow do with regard to the deaf-mute widow? So, what should the Pikeach Baal Pikchis do? Koines. He takes her in. He marries her. Remember, she's not related to the wife of this Pikeach. So he takes her in. He does an act of Yibum. There's not the chalitza is not an option. It's not viewed as an option here because she can't read the parsha. She can't read the required sections that a yavama reads. And if he wants to divorce her, he divorces her. In the opposite situation of Meis Pikeach Baal Pikchis, if the normal fellow dies, leaving a widow, a normal woman widow, Yavama, Ma Yase Cheresh Baal Chareshes, what should the Cheresh do? Kaines V'eino Moitzi Li'olam. He can marry her, but the get that he gives will, if he were to try to give a get, a divorce document, it will not be effective. The reason for that is that the original marriage to the normal brother was a full-fledged doraisa level marriage, creating upon the death of the pikeach a very strong yibum bond, and that strong yibum bond, that zika, cannot be broken by the get of a cheresh. A cheresh is in the category of those people that are categorized as inept. Without getting into all the details, the issue of das, etc., that they don't have sufficient awareness of what they're doing, but they are considered inept, and hence not their get would not be effective. Now, in learning this source, we want to make the following assumption. My love, b'chareshes mei kora. When we spoke about the chareshes married to the cheresh, we're talking about a woman who was born as a chareshes, v'katoni, and the source stated, kaines in. The only option that the source presented to us was that for the normal fellow, and you notice we dashed underlined the word kaines, the second line from the bottom, the only option open for the pikeach was for him to marry her, and then if he wants to divorce her, so he does so, but there was no option given for chalitza. Hence it said kaines, yes, but chaleitz lo, that wasn't mentioned because of the kriya problem, and this is a kasha, this is a difficulty for Rabba. Here you see a chareshes meikara being considered unqualified for chalitza. Loi, that's not the case. But pikris v'acharkach nischarsha, that's the case where she is unqualified for chalitza, as Rabba had indicated. Again, we're focusing on the issue of a chareshes meikara. Ta Shma. Again, this is going to be presented as a question. It's a long question. There are a number of cases here. Shnei Achim Pikrin Nisuin Shtei Nochrios. Two normal brothers are married to two women that are unrelated to one another. We emphasize from time to time unrelated because there are many cases where we'll see two men are married to two sisters. So that to prevent a confusion, we emphasize unrelated, and the term nochrios is used. So you have two, by the way, this marking, and you see the diamond, this will be a rather important marking for the Gemara later, where we want to compare and contrast two sources, one dealing with nochrios, and the other dealing with ketanos. So that will become useful later on. So we have two brothers married to two unrelated women, Achas Pikris v'Achas Chareshes. Meis Pikeach Baal HaChareshes. The normal, the fellow, they were both normal men, but the one that was married to the Chareshes died, leaving the Chareshes is now the Yavoma. Ma Yase Pikeach Baal Pikris. What options are open for the for the surviving brother? Kones, he can take her in. V'im rotzo lahoitzi yotzi. Again, we dashed underline Kones. We're going to be focusing on this case. We'll get back to it then in a moment. The next case here, Meis Pikeach Baal Pikchus, Mayasa Pikeach Baal Chareshus, what should the other brother do? So, Ocholetz O Miabim. In this case, the Pikchus is the Yavoma. The normal woman is the Yavoma. So she's a normal woman, and she's confronting a normal brother-in-law. So both options are open, Chalitza or Yibum. Now, in analyzing the status of the Chareshus mentioned in this source, the Gemara goes on and says, "My love, is it not so mi dehu pikeach meikora, he nami Chareshus meikora?" As is often the case in Mishnais, we like to keep things balanced. Just like Pikeach was born normal, the Chareshus was born abnormal. The Katani, and regarding the Chareshus Meikora, it says, Koneis in. Koneis is the option. Choleitz lo, Chalitza is not an option. And that will be a kasha on Rabbah. Rabbah had said that a Chareshus Mikora is subject to Chalitza. And here you see, no. The Gemara responds, Midi Irya, how are they necessarily to be compared? Ha Kidi Isa. He is a Pikeach Mikora. She is a Pikachas V'achachav Niskasha. And as we said before, in the case of Pikachas V'achachav Niskasha, that's where Rabbah will concede that she's not eligible for Chalitza. Now here we have a long question. The unusual marking around the Eisvei is explained on the side. We have a starred note, and we've written there Simun Zeh. This marking Maresh Ochen Yesh Mikan Kushya, that there is a kasha coming up. Avolo Makshim Miguf Hamokar. The source, as opposed to the approach taken in the first questions, here the source that's quoted immediately is not the source of the question. The Tanaic source quoted is not the basis, is not the source of the question. Elo, hu muva lidchois hatirutz deliel. This source is going to be brought in to reject the answer just given. Dehi pikchis v'shachakach nischarsha. In other words, the answer that we just gave to defend Rabbah was that she is a Pikchus and that subsequently became a Chareshus. We're going to try to show you that that answer is untenable. And by doing that, so we're in effect reinstating the question. Now, the Gemara, Eisvei. Again, you'll have the same type of setup. Two brothers married to two women, and we have to identify the women as we go along. You'll notice that there's a diamond coming up, so be careful. Here we're going to start talking about two men that are married to two sisters, respectively. Shnei achim, echad pikeach ve'echad cheresh. Two men, now they are on different levels. One is a pikeach, one is a cheresh, nesu and shnei achoyos, that are married to two sisters, achas pikeches ve'achas chereshes. And as far as who married whom, let's keep them parallel, that the normal guy married the normal sister, and the Chiresh married the Chareshus sister. Meis Chiresh Baal Chareshus. Now, we've dashed, underlined this, we want to focus on this. The Yavoma here is the Chareshus. That's the focus of our discussion. A Chareshus, who is a Yavoma. And we want to investigate her Chalitza options. So here the Chareshus is a Yavoma. Ma yase pikech baal pikchis. What should the other brother do who's married to the Chareshus' sister, a normal woman? Well, the answer to that is obvious. Teitzei mishum achos isha. The Chareshus is exempt because she is an erva. She's a forbidden relative. She's one's wife's sister, which is strictly forbidden. So that's pretty straightforward. Meis pikeach baal pikchis, the normal fellow died, leaving the pikchis as the yavama. Ma yase cheresh baal chereshes, what can he do? Motzi es ishto beget, we have to emphasize here, once again, the pikchis is the yavama. Her marriage to her husband was a solid, normal, doraisa level marriage. Upon his death, leaving no children, you're dealing with a Yavoma with a Zika bond. The Yavoma bond to the surviving brother is a very strong bond. It's a Torah-level bond. what is the Charesh, the Charesh, who's married to the Charesh's, her sister, the normal woman's sister, which is called a rabbinic type marriage, we'll say a weak form of marriage, what is he to do? To further illustrate this, this man is now confronted with to suggest that he takes in the Chareshes, the Pichas. He can't do that. That's his wife's sister. So what does he do? On the other hand, he has to deal with the issue of the fact that he has a Vama attached to him. So the Mishnah says, this Tanaic source says, Moitzi es Ishto beget. He divorces his wife with a get. The Eshes Ochiv Asura li Olam. The wife of his deceased brother is ushered to him. She is, in effect, once the Cheresh divorced his wife, which he had to do, the Yavama is the sister of a woman he divorced. That's called Achois Grushaso. So the sister of a woman that a person divorced is permanently forbidden. You can see that chalitza is not an option. He is not capable of doing chalitza. We should, just to go over one more point in Rashi, on the top line, moitzi ishto beget, the zikas achoisa pikhis, the zika formed by this widow who is normal, oisarta prevents his wife, the cheresh's wife, who is her sister, from remaining with him. Shenisua gemurin, the nisuin of the pikhis to her husband was a complete marriage. Vizu sofek, and the marriage between the cheresh and the chareshes is considered doubtful. V'ein koyach b'kidushel liftor es achoisu mishum achosisha. There is not sufficient strength in the cheresh marriage to neutralize, to exempt the case from yibum on the grounds of achois isha, because it's not so clear in halachic terms, is the yavama who's a pikkus really the sister of your wife? Maybe she's not really your wife. We call it a sofei kiddushin. So there isn't sufficient grounds of classifying this as one's wife's, that the yavama is one's wife's sister. So we have to proceed as we saw in the source. The Eishes Ochiv Asura Leolam, the Yavama is Asura to the Cheresh, because why does she remain Asura? Now we said she remains Asura to marry anybody, not just the Cheresh. Rashi says, Eishes Ochiv Asura Leolam, the Cheresh Lomotzi Cholis. Cholis, he can't do Chalitza. She has to suffer, we'll call this the Yibum bond. And when we say she's also permanently, that means, of course, as long as the Cheresh is alive, the bond remains. Umichnas nami lo motzi konis, he can't take her in either, he can't marry her either. Dachois grushoso he. She, in effect, is the sister of the one he had divorced. Dachoso Cheresh is hoise knubim mitzas li ochiv hacheresh. The Chereshis, the deaf mute, was partially married to the surviving brother, Hilkach Loi Efsher. Therefore, he can't take her in either, as we said. Let's go back. We turn back to the Gemara text. V'chi teimo. You might want to say Hochi Nami. Here too, regarding the Cheresh, is a case of a fellow was bipikeach v'achar kach nischarish. So if you want to say that it's talking about a fellow who is a pikeach v'achar kach nischaresh, mi motzi mapik. It said in the source that he is moitzias ishto beget, but a pikeach v'achar kach nischaresh wouldn't be able to do that. V'hotnan nischarsha, a woman who became a chareshis, yotzi, she can be divorced. Nishtatis lo yotzi, if she became an imbecile, she cannot be divorced. Nischaresh hu, and here we dash to underline that, oi nishtate, lo yotzi, oi lomis. He cannot get rid of his wife. So that the source that said, moitzi as ishta beget, in reference to the Cheresh, who was the surviving brother, could not be talking about a case of someone who was nischaresh. Nischaresh indicates he was a pikeach who then became a cheresh. He's not capable of being motzi, of divorcing with a get. So how can the source before indicate that the cheresh was able to divorce his wife, the chereshes, with a get? El olav. But cheresh meikara, it had to be describing someone who was originally a cheresh, who was born as a cheresh. Umidahu cheresh meikara. Now here we're building up to the climax. Here it is arriving. From the fact that he is a cheresh meikara, he nami chereshes meikara. The chereshes to whom the cheresh was married was like him. She was also born as a chereshes. Hop, skip, and jump. We now want to connect the source that we just described, in which we described the chereshes meikara. That was the source where achoyos were featured. Umida achoyos chereshos meikara. And just like in that source dealing with the sisters, the chereshes described was someone born as a chereshes. Nochrios nami chereshos meikara. The source above that was brought in, quote on second line from the top, that source, which we see the diamond in that source there, that's the source called Nachrios. That from that source, we attempted to ask Akasha on Rabba. And in fact, that source would also have to be talking about Chareshos Meikara, Utnan Gabi Nachrios, and in that source it said, Koines, in the Chareshos Meikara, was someone, how was the Yavam to deal with her? So in that source, it said he takes her in. Chaylitzla, but chalitza was not an option. Chalitza for a chareshes meikara is not an option. That is a problem for Rabba. Wow, so that's quite a question. Ishtik. So, in the face of Abaye's question, Abaye was the questioner in this sugya. In the face of that question, Rabba remained silent. He didn't have an answer because it seems from here that in fact a chareshes meikara is not capable of participating in chalitza. Let's just go over that last point. Not only a pikhis shachakach nischarsha is incapable of chalitza, but even a chareshes meikara is incapable of chalitza. That ruins Rabba's resolution of the conflicting sources that we saw in Omer Aleph. So Abaye feels probably very maybe feels content or satisfied that he was able to raise a strong challenge to Rabba's position. He also lekame to Rav Yosef. When Abaye came to Rav Yosef, Abaye told him what had happened. Amale, Rav Yosef responds to him. He says, "My time, toisvei meho. Why did you raise your question from this?" You know, the whole long question. He's asked, "Why did you raise it from the source of the achoyas?" The Yachal Lishnuyalach, Rabba could knock off your question by simply saying, Achoyos Chareshos Meikara. The case of the Achoyos, that of course is a case of Chareshos Meikara. Nochrios, in the Nochrios source, where we saw the original question on Rabba, that is not a question. Because that is a different case. The case of Nochrios was a chareshes that was a pikhis v'acharkach nischarsho. And okay, in a case like that where it said kones was the only option and chalitza was not an option, because once again that was a different situation. That was pikhis v'achar nischarsho. The fact that in the case of Achoyos, granted over there you were dealing with a Chareshes Meikara, but in the case of Nochrios, that's a different, it's a different section of, albeit the same Mishnah, one's a Reisha, one's a Seifa, but it's a different circumstance. And Rabba can get out of the your question once again by saying that the reason chalitza was not an option in the case of the Nochrios, because there the chareshes was a chareshes that was a pikhus ve'achakach nischarsha, but a chareshes me'ikora, that is a different story. There chalitza would be an option. Ela ibaya loch la'soive meha. Rav Yosef goes on to tell Abaye that if you were interested in asking a question, you should have asked it from the following. Again, take note of the fact that we have a very long question, and all of this is basically a presentation of Rav Yosef to Abaye. Hey, you know, you could have asked from here. So now let's go through, and of course when we say you could have asked, we're going to try to demonstrate that in a case of a Chareshes Meikora, Chalitza is not an option. The source: Shnei Achim Chershim Nisu. When you have two deaf mutes that are brothers, and to whom are they married? Shtei Achoyos Pichos. One possibility is they're married to two normal women. And they happen to be sisters. O shtei achoyos chershas, or two sisters that are deaf mutes. Oi shtei achoyos achas pichis v'achas chereshes. V'chein shtei achoyos chershos nesuos. Likewise, if you have two deaf mute sisters, we're focusing on starting from the wife's standpoint. To whom are they married? You have several examples. L'shnei achim pikhin, to two normal brothers. O l'shnei achim chershin, or to two deaf mutes. Oi l'shnei achim echad pikeach v'echad chereish. Hare elu pturos mishum hachalitza umin hayibum. In all of these cases, when one of the brothers dies, the widow that is left is the sister of the wife of the surviving brother. That's called achos isha. So when you're dealing with a case like that, where the yevama is the sister of the wife of the surviving brother, so there's no there's exemption, there's total exemption from evil based on the forbidden relationship known as achos isha. The comment that we just made is applicable to the cases seen in this source. You'll just take note of the fact that either in the husband side of the equation, when you were starting with where the beginning of the source, the two husbands were on the same footing, and when you were looking at the case of the two wives, and that's in the second section of the source, the two wives were on the same footing; they were both chershos, and as a result of this a situation where in the case of the two brothers they were both chershin, or in the case of the women, from the women's standpoint, they both of them were chershos, so then this is the result that there's an exemption of yibum and chalitza on the grounds of achos isha. And now really that was all tangential. The im hoyu nochrios, here is the key thing. If the women were not related to one another, yichnosu, then the widow, the yavama, would be married by the yavam. Vimratzu lahotzi yotziu, and if they should want to then divorce them, they can be divorced. Hechi domi. What are the circumstances in this source? If you were to think that in this source we were dealing with that type of individual, someone who was healthy, who subsequently became a cheresh, well, mimotzi mapki, would there be an option of getting, of divorcing, of sending away? The source said at the very end, imrotzu lahotzi yotziu, but that wouldn't be an option. Votnan nischareshu oy nishtato loy yotzi oylomis. A person who became a cheresh, that's a, that in other terms is a pikeach lubasof nischaresh. It says he cannot divorce. He's not he's not acceptable in divorcing. He's not qualified to divorce. Elo lav achirshin meikora. So we have to then assume that this, the source above, was describing people that were deaf mutes from birth. Umidehain chirshin meikora, and from the fact that the two brothers are described as chirshin meikora, inhu nami chirshos meikora. The wives, when they're described as chershos, they're also chershos meikara. That was as far as the case of the sisters. The shteachos are also chershos meikara. When you're within the framework of one Tanaic source, you generally expect things to be balanced, the examples to be the same. So the sisters are chershos meikara, v'katani, and in that source it said, im hoyu nochrios, if they were not sisters, yachnusu. Then the yavam would take her in. Yachnusu in, yachlutsu lo. The only option is for knisa, for marriage with her, but chalitza is not an option. And again, who are we describing? Just look at the way we've marked these things off with the dashed underline. We're, the line just above, we're dealing with chareshus meikara. Chalitza is not an option. Tiufto de Rabba, Tiufto. This is a refutation of Rabba. Well, we continue with one of the other cases, Ktano v'Chareshes. Our Mishnah had described a man that was married to a Ktano and a Chareshes. That was, in fact, in our Mishnah, that you could see that was the Roman numeral number 2 in the Mishnah. Let us glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a topic heading in Osei, Ketano v'chareshes shenoflu li'ibum. The man who was married to these two women, he left two widows, one a minor and the other a deaf mute. And they hence became Yavomos. And the man that died, was he a Pikeach? Was he a Chirish? Those cases will be dealt with in the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman. Do take note of the structure. There's a long marking. We call this Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman in this piece of Gemara is going to tell us how he met two Rabbonim, and he then reports, Rav Nachman tells us what they said, and then, and that is highlighted with a squiggle underline on the first word line, wide line of the Gemara, you can see the word V'amri is squiggle line. That's where Rav Nachman is telling us what they said, and then a few lines later you see the expression squiggle underline V'aminu lo ano, and I said back to them. So what we have here is a very standard form of Gemara where Rav Nachman is telling over Rav Nachman, and it happens elsewhere in the Shas with many others, that we're told what they said and what I said back to them. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman, Ashkachte l'Rav Ado bar Avo l'Rav Chono Chasnei. I met Rav Ado and Rav Chono, his son-in-law. Diyasvi v'komakavu akviso b'shuka de pubadisa. And they were gathering students around them who had come to listen to what they were saying. The Shuka Pupadisa is the marketplace of Pupadisa, the Amri, and they said, Hodisnan, that which is taught in our Mishnah, the very case that we are dealing with, the Roman numeral number 2 section. Ketana v'chareshes, a man is married to these two kinds of women. Ein bias achas man poiteres sorosa. We saw this in our Mishnah, that the intimacy of the Yavam with one of them does not release the other. Well, that statement, hani mili, denoflo le me ochiv pikeach. That's a case where the deceased was a normal person. We don't know which one of these two kinds of women the deceased really had preferred. In other words, which one would be the real wife, so to speak. You're dealing here, by the way, with the rabbinic type marriages. So it would be of value to us to us if we could really figure out who was the real wife. So, and of course, then that's the one that would be the Avoma, and the other one would be exempt. But we have to figure out. In this case, I should say we don't know. The normal guy, he died, leaving two women of we'll say less than desirable. The Gemara spells out what the element of doubt would be. E biktana nichole, maybe he actually preferred the ktano de asya lechlaldea. She will, as she gets older, reaches adulthood, she will become dea. Dea means of sound mind. We could say simple terms, she'll become considered normal. So that is an advantage from the ktana standpoint. However, e bchareshes nichole, maybe he preferred the chareshes, the gedolahi ubaspiahi. Right now, she was physically considered an adult and hence physically capable of intimacy, as opposed to the ktana, which where intimacy is much more, we'll say, restricted or difficult. So in such a case, the law of the Mishnah applies, which said that the intimacy on the part of the Yavam with one of them will not exempt the other, because it could be that the other is the real Yavama. When we say, by the way, real Yavama, it means she was the real wife of the deceased. Avol, nofla me'ochiv cheresh. Let's say the deceased was a cheresh. He resembles, of course, one of these two women. In such a case, vadai b'chareshes nichole. He certainly would have preferred the chareshes to bas biohi ubas minehi. She has two advantages for him. She is a capable. She's a woman physically capable of intimacy, and she is also his own kind. People like their own kind. So up till this point is the statement made by the two rabbis that Rav Nachman had met. If you notice, it's a little hard to see possibly, but we had a single quotation mark starting from the first wide line till this point to show that this is what they were saying. So they made a distinction between a case of a normal deceased as opposed to a cheresh deceased. V'amin Allahu ano, and I, says Rav Nachman, I said to them, afilu noflo le me'ochiv cheresh nami misafka le. If the deceased was in fact a cheresh, the same doubt applies, so that the bia with one would not exempt the other. We didn't point out, but according to the two Rabbonim, Rav Ado and his son-in-law, according to them, if a Cheresh was the deceased, so then the Bia with the Chareshes would have certainly exempted the Ketana, because the Chareshes is considered the full-fledged wife. But as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, that is not so. Ketzad Takonoson. Let's glance at the Rashi. Just a couple lines up from here, across in the Rashi. Keitza takanoson diktano v'chareshes. How do we solve the case of a man that died, leaving a ktana chareshes? Hoyol v'ein ho'achas poteres sorosa, since we said that the intimacy with one does not exempt the other, doesn't free the other. V'chareshes lav bas chalitza, he denepuk travayo b'chalitza. The chareshes is not capable of chalitza, which otherwise would have been the obvious option. Do chalitza with one and would free the other, but she's not capable of chalitza. She's a deaf mute. V'i miyabem lo v'cholitz liktano kishe tagdil. If, let us say, the yovam would marry the chareshes and then do chalitza with the minor when she becomes an adult, that's not an option either. Mifsula kamaisa ole, the chareshes would become unfit. Dekom le below ibonet. This is a very terse quote, but lo yiboneh is a reference to a point we've seen earlier in the Masechta on several occasions, that when chalitza is done, once a person decides not to build, yiboneh is to build, he decides not to build the name of his deceased brother, shuv lo yiboneh. You cannot then build later. In other words, if you did chalitza with the woman, so you can't marry another one of the widows. So once chalitza is done with the ktana, when she becomes an adult, that will render the chareshes that he was miyabim unfit. The bia that was done earlier with the chareshes, that did not obliterate, it didn't void, it didn't undo, it didn't eradicate the bond. The bond was there even after he had been boyel the chareshes. Because of the weakness of that particular original marriage relationship. We're not sure if that was considered a full-fledged wife. So the bina that was done with Chareshes never undid the zika, the name that we should have been able to say. That once bia is done, there's no more zika, and then nothing else matters afterwards. Not so. The bia done with the chareshes left the original zika intact, and then the subsequent chalitza done, that's a real chalitza, what's done with the ktana when she becomes a gedoyla, that's a real chalitza. Oh, once chalitza is done, you cannot continue living with the other wife. That's a problem, what we call lo yiboneh. So what Rashi just did is he pointed out, we'll say, all of the problems with any of the, we'll say, the seeming possible solutions. They're not smooth. So how do we solve the problem? Omar Rav Chisda Omar Rav. Koines hachareshes u'motzi'ah beget. The chareshes he should marry and then divorce her. Uktana tamtinat shetagdil v'tachloitz. And in order to release the ktana, you wait for her to become an adult, and then the yovam will do chalitza with that widow. On the side, we have a tatnosei. This is a subtopic heading. We introduce here musagim. We want to share concepts that the Gemara will deal with quite extensively. One concept is called knuya umushuyeres. It's a description of a type of marriage where there is some type of bond, but it's not a complete bond. Mushuyeres means something is left over. If you want, partially married. There's another concept, knuya v'eino knuya. What that means is either she is married or she's not married. Sofek knuyo kulo, sofek eno knuyo klal. When we see the term knuyo v'eno knuyo, realize it means it's either all or nothing, a complete marriage or a zero marriage. These are very abstract ideas, and we'll try to apply them as we go through the Gemara. Bear in mind, we're dealing with marriages that are of a rabbinic nature, so it's it's very different than a case of a regular, normal marriage that everyone is familiar with, which is very cut and dry, very clear cut. It's a full. The woman is considered, in normal circumstances, considered fully married to the man. Here, once again, we're dealing with a Hareshes type marriage, a Kitano marriage, so that we're dealing with those kind of marriages that we can describe as being incomplete, so to speak. So now the Gemara is going to make a point, and we should see in our note on the side, we have a number 2, Shitas Rav, Lefi Rav Chisda. The opinion of Rav, as Rav Chisda presents him, the way we categorize these women is as follows. A Chareshes is considered Knuyum Shiras. Her marriage is, there isn't an element of doubt per se, but it's considered an incomplete marriage. The Ketana, as far as Rav is concerned, there it's either all or nothing. Knuya v'ena knuya. That we can describe as suffix, a doubt. We just saw how Rav solved the problem or the method of releasing the widows, the Chareshes and the Ketana. From this scanty amount of information, Rav Chisda comes to a grand conclusion as to what Rav's opinion is. We presented that just now in our introduction on the side. We should note ahead of time that this discussion will take us clear down all of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph till the Mishnah. So it's true that the Shurim are billed as Daf Yomi Shurim, but in the interest of keeping the continuity of thought, it will be to our advantage to go through the entire Sugya till the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So now we continue with the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda, Shma Mina, by the way, note that we have a long point ahead of us. So Rav Chisda says, Shma Mina Kosova Rav. From what Rav told us, it seems evident that Rav holds Chareshes Kenuya Umeshuyeres. Ktano Knuya V'eino Knuya. We take a look at the Rashi. On the first wide line under the Gemara, Chareshes Knuya B'mikses Umeshuyeres. Ketana Sofek Knuya Kula Sofek Eino Knuya Klal. So Rav is saying that the Chareshes is one thing. She's Knuya B'miktas Umishiris. The Ketana is something else, meaning all a doubt we have concerning all or nothing. The Bishtayan Knuyas Mishiros, to say that they're both on the same footing, that they're Knuyas Mishiros, Leko Lameimar. That's not an option. The Mimas Nisan Shaminon Law, we can derive that from the Mishnah, that they're not on the same footing. The Imkain, if they were on the same footing, you have two widows that are of an equal status. The Imkain Tiftar Chalam Babias Chaverta. Then the intimacy with one of the widows would exempt the other. And yet the Mishnah said quite explicitly, Ein bias achas men poteres chaverta. Ushtei and sofek nami lekola meimar. To suggest that they're both sofek is also not an option. Midekotoni seifa de masnisen, from the fact that the continuation of Mishnah stated, Bo yovam al haktano. V'chozar ubo al hachareshes. If a yavam had intimacy with the ktana and then he had intimacy with the chareshes, posal es haktana. Bo yavam al hachareshes v'chozar ubo al ktana, posal es hachareshes. And if the other way it happened, the other order, that would render unfit the chareshes. In each case, the subsequent bia with a second one of them would render the bia done with the first one psula. V'yi shtein sofek, if they were both classified as doubt, then in those cases we would simply say komaisa. Rashi continues it to the top of the next omen. We would say komaisa tesiv gabei mimonavshach. And we, by the way, what we're doing now is we'll see this point is made in the Gemara as well. But by way of introduction, we're saying if they were both sfeikos, so then the first one to have experienced intimacy with the Yavam, she would be able to remain with him. Either way you look at things, the second one would not have posed a threat. If they were both fully married, then the bia with the second widow wouldn't have rendered unfit the first one to have had bia with the Yavam. Dein achar bia klum, that after a full-fledged intimacy with a Yavama, nothing else has any effect. If both women are not considered married, not considered to have been married, then they're not considered co-wives. So that the bia with the second one would have had no effect on the bia with the first one. They're not considered co-wives. It's not a situation of yibum to begin with. They're considered strangers. Ella, what do we have to say? Chada knuyim shiras. One of them is a partial type marriage. V'chada sofek, and the other one is a doubt, all or nothing. Umi derav shaminon, and from Rav we were able to deduce the chareshes he haknuy mishres, that the chareshes is the one that is partially married. Uktano suffik, and the kana was the all or nothing doubt. Mishum hachi, and as a result of this, teitze hachareshes beget. We want the chareshes to be dismissed through a divorce document. Dilmok tano kenuyohi legamri, because the tano widow might have been the full wife of the deceased, the real Yavoma. The adifa mecharesis, and hence stronger than the charesis, more preferable than the charesis, was only kenuyim shiras. Uposla lo chalitza sa olea, and the chalitza done with the ketana, when she of course becomes an adult, will then pasel the chareshes from being with the surviving brother. At that point, we would say that would be a problem of lo yiboneh. Which, by the way, we described that earlier, that once chalitza, a real chalitza, takes place, so the other co-wife cannot remain, because once chalitza is done, a real chalitza is done, kivon shelo bona shuv lo yiboneh, as we mentioned earlier. So now let's go back to the Gemara text. Rav, as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, holds that a chareshes is knuyah mishiras, and the ketana is knuyah veina knuyas. She's an either all or nothing wife. Dehi salka daitoch, if you were to think the other way around, chareshes knuyah veina knuyah, that the chareshes is an issue of doubt, ketana kenuya umashires, and the ketana being the partial type marriage, chareshes amai kainesu motzia beget. Why would Rav had said regarding the chareshes, marry her and then divorce her? Tesiv gabei mimonavshach, the chareshes would have been able to remain with the yavam. Either way you look at things, I knuyohi, ha knuyohi. If the chareshes was fully married to the deceased, so she's she's fully married, and the zika of the second one after he takes in the first one doesn't exist anymore. So that the marriage to the Chareshes, if you're telling us that the Chareshes was a Kenuya Veina Kenuya, on the grounds that she was Kenuya, so then then we wouldn't have to say regarding the Chareshes, Rav would never have said Motziah Beget. The Ilav Kenuyohi, if the Chareshes is not Kenuya at all, Hanachris Be'amohi, she's considered a total stranger, and the Chalitza of the Ketana would not have rendered the Chareshes unfit. V'chi Teima, you might ask, according to Rav, why don't we do the opposite and have him take in the Ketana? Rav, don't forget, said take in the Chareshes. Why don't we suggest this? V'chi Teima, Ketana, amai tamtinat shetagdu v'tachloitz. Why is that what Rav said? Let him take in the Ketana, Tesiv Gabe, let him marry the Ketana, and as far as Rav is concerned, the Ketana was described as Kenuya Veina Kenuya. E Kenuyohi, if the Ketana was the real wife, Ha Kenuyohi. And that's his, then the Yavam did a full-fledged Yibum. E Lav Kenuyohi, and if she was not married at all, Nukriyasa Bialmo He, then she's a total stranger. So why did Rav say that the only option for the Ketana was waiting for her to become a Gdola and then doing Chalitza? The Gemara says if that would have been the procedure, if that's what Rav would have suggested, in Cain, Chareshes Bama Tepuk, how would the Chareshes be freed? The Chareshes does not have a Chalitza option, and you certainly cannot, he can't marry her, because according to this approach, he would have married the Tana, and on the grounds that was a full wife, the Chareshes was a partial wife, and once you do Yibum with one, you can't do Yibum with the other. So you don't have Yibum as an option, you wouldn't have Chalitza as an option. And Rav's interest is in solving the problem for both women. Hence, we're locked into this position, as Rav Chisda said, that according to Rav, the Chareshes is Kenuya Mishieres, and the Ketana is Kenuya Ve'ena Kenuya. Before we continue, we glance at the side under our Nosei Mivne heading. You'll notice we have a triangle, and as you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that the triangle assumes an opposite position, flip-flop situation. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. In our note, we indicate nisoyon lehochiach shitasa shirav chizdom arav mi braisa. We're going to try to prove, to support Rav Chisda's analysis of Rav, diktano is Knuya v'eino Knuya, v'chareshes Knuya Mishieres. The Gemara, as it unfolds, you'll notice there's an inverted triangle. That is, in effect, a dechia, a rejection of what we're trying to do here. So notice the structure. Now we go back to the Gemara. The Gemara opens with a long point. Omar Rav Sheshes, Hochi Nami Mistabro Kidekometarets Rav Chisda Alibo de Rav. It's most likely, as Rav Chisda explained, that the Chareshes is Kenuya Umashieres, and the Ketana is Kenuya Vieno Kenuya. The Sanya. Shnei Achim Nisuin Shtei Achoyos, Ketana V'Chareshes. Two brothers are married to two sisters, one a minor and one a deaf mute. Mes balo shel ktana. So when you see that, note that the ktana is the yavama. The husband of ktana died. Chareshes yoitza beget. Again, we're dealing with a situation of two sisters. So you have a man who is now confronted with a yavama that's the sister of his wife. The wife is the chareshes. He can't be married to two wives. So the source instructs as follows, that the chareshes, who is the real wife of the surviving brother, she is to be divorced. He has to get rid of her, because the zika of the ktana, the bond of the ktana, the yibum bond, asers the chareshes, who is knuya ve'ena knuya. The chareshes is only a partial kind of marriage, and the ktana might be a full-fledged wife. So the chareshes has to go. She's confronted by the overpowering bond, zika, of the yavama ktana. Uktana tamtinat shetagdil v'tachloitz. The ktana, the yavama, she shall wait until she becomes an adult, and then does chalitza. Now, there's no option here of doing yibum, because the ktana is the sister of the woman that the man just divorced. That's called achois grushoso, and that's a prohibited relationship. Hence, the ktana is not going to do yibum. She is going to go out through chalitza. Now, we'll say the opposite situation. Meis bala shel chareshes. The chareshes husband dies, the husband of the chareshes, so the yavama here is the chareshes. The surviving man is married to the ktana. The surviving man cannot take in the chareshes. The chareshes is the wife, is the sister of his wife. So now the ktana yoitza beget. The ktana goes out. You see, the ktana is the she might not be married at all. So and there is, of course, this ktana is a sister of the yavama. So the ktana goes out. She has to be divorced with a get. The Rashi adds a point here, a few lines down. Ktano teitze beget. The zikas chareshes achoisa, the zika, the bond of her sister, the deaf mute. Osarta, she poses a threat to the ktano married to the surviving brother. Shema ktano eno knuya klal. Could be that the ktana is not really married. Bahavio kemifuta, she's considered, her dwelling with this man is like a seduced woman. The chareshes knuya mishieres, and the chareshes, there is a partial bond that exists. Bahavio law ishtoi achosikukoso, the ktana is really then the sister of the chareshes, who is, she's the sister of the zakuka, and you're not allowed to be with the sister of a zakuka. You have to deal with the zika, you have to deal with the yibum bond. So the ktana, we dismiss her with a get. The chareshes, the yavama, asura la'olam. The chareshes, she is she's prohibited permanently. Now, you see, the chareshes cannot be married. She's an achos. She would be an achos grusha. The chareshes cannot do chalitza either, because she's not capable of chalitza. V'im bo al chareshes, if he took in the yavama, if this the surviving brother did yibum with the chareshes, noisein lo get for Hutra. He'll have to give her a divorce document, and that will free her. The Rashi, let's take a look at the Rashi. V'im Ovar Ubo Ala Chareshis. We're looking at Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines. If he had taken in, he did an Avera, and he had intimacy with the Chareshis, Achar Shigirei Shaktana, after he divorced the Ktana, and we said the problem there was the Chareshis represents a problem of Achos Grushasai. So he did, let's say he did take her in. Noisein lo get v'hutru l'shuk mimon afshach. He gives her a divorce document, and that frees her to marry anyone she wants. Either way you look at things. I ktana knuya havoi. If the ktana, which was the man's regular wife, was a full-fledged wife, nafgalo hach meresha, then this chareshis is out of the picture from the outset. Mishumachoy sisha. V'hach knisas nus bialmohi. She's out from the very beginning, and the fact that he cohabited with her is basically an act of harlotry. And there's no need for a get under those circumstances. V'i ktana lav kenuyohi. And if the ktana was not married at all, shapir yibam, then the marriage to the chareshis was a full-fledged yibam, and the get is effective in releasing one's wife. So now the Gemara proceeds with the point that Rav Sheshis was trying to make. The analysis being, the Chareshis is Knuya Mishieris, and the Ketana is Knuya Vena Knuya. I Amrish Bishlamo, Chareshis Knuya Mishieris, and the Ketana is Knuya Vena Knuya. Mishum Hachi, we can therefore understand at the end of the source, the Chibo Al HaChareshis, when the husband of the Ketana had relations with the Chareshis, with the Yavoma, Noisein lo get v'hutra, he then would give her a divorce document, and that will free her. The Amris Mimonafshach, we say, either way you look at things, as we already saw in the Rashi, either way you look at things, this will be a solution. Iktana knuyohi, if the original Ketana wife of this man was a real wife, ha, the Chareshis, nafka mishum achos isha. She's out of the picture from the beginning on the grounds of being the sister of one's wife. And the fact that, as the source said at the end, he had intimacy with the Chareshis, so that's an act of harlotry. And for that, of course, she's an achos isha. She would have been an achos isha. There was no tefisas kedushin to begin with. There's not even a need for it yet. And I love kenuya. If the ketana was not married at all, then shapir miabing. The yibum was a good yibum with the chareshis, and the get is the means of sending away a wife. Elo I amris chareshis kenuven kenuya. And Ketana Knuya Mishieris, if you're going to say that the Chareshis, who was the Yavoma, was the Sofek Knuya or Eino Knuya, and the Chareshis was the Ketana, that is, the real wife, was a partial marriage, then going back to the situation at the end of that source, Kibo al Chareshis, when the husband of the Ketana went ahead and had intimacy with the Yavama. Again, this is a case of after having divorced the Ketana, if he went ahead and then had intimacy with the Chareshis, Amai Noisein Get V'Hutra. How would the giving of the Get be a sufficient means of sending her off? Havyo le biopsula, that would be considered a weak form of intimacy. Ubiopsula lopatra, the biopsula does not get rid of the zika, resulting in a full fledged marriage, and a get alone would be enough. A biopsula, this weak form of bia, requires chalitza as well, and a chareshis is incapable of chalitza. So that in order for us to say that the yavama of the chareshis was, in ba'alea, nosein laget v'hutra, you have to be saying then that the Chareshes was in effect a Kenuya u'mishyeres, and the Ketana, and the Ketana was Kenuya ve'eno Kenuya. If we look in Rashi just for further explanation, Rashi on the first wide line under the Gemara, Amai, if you are going to say that the Chareshes was the Kenuya ve'eno Kenuya, then Amai noisein lo ged v'hutra ho iko lemeimar dilmo Chareshes Kenuya hilagamri. There is then grounds for saying that the Yavoma was a full-fledged wife with a very strong zika, and she is as has a strong bond to the Yavam. Uktanan uktano lo dachya lo the Kenuya mishiyarasi. The Ktana isn't going to push her off as what we call an anachos isha, because her marriage wasn't a complete marriage. Ubiasa, the bia with the chareshes, bia psula, it's a weak bia, sharei, achois, isha, b'miktas, he. The chareshes is a partial achos isha. Ubia psula, lo potra miyibum. The Bia Psula doesn't remove the Yibum, the Yivama status. There remains a Zika. Utsricha get Lebiyasa v'chalitza lezikaso. Then, in addition to the get that we already mentioned, chalitza would also be necessary. V'chareshes lav bas chalitza hi. So, up till this point, Rav Sheshes is demonstrating that from this Tanaic source you see what Rav had said, that the Chareshes is Kenuya u'mishyeres and the Ketana is described as Kenuya v'eino Kenuya. The Gemara says in response to this point of Rav Sheshes, not so. Ha money, the source that you just cited, Rabbi Nechemya hi, is taught in accordance with Rabbi Nechemya de Omar, Bia Psula Poteres Michalitza. So that I could in fact say that the Chareshes is the Kenuya v'eino Kenuya, and the Ketana was Kenuya Mishyeres, and that the Bia done with the Chareshes, though it is in fact a Bia Psula because she's a partial achois isha, a partial erva, and therefore, just we're repeating ourselves, and therefore the bia done with her is a weak form of bia, but there is no more zika. A bia psula is enough to exempt from a need for chalitza. And hence, when the source said, "Bim bo'al ha-chareshes, noisin lo get v'hutra," yeah, he gives a get and that's enough. And I can tell you that in fact the chareshes is the one who's kenuya v'eino kenuya, and hence we don't have a support to what Rav was trying to say. The Gemara responds, and the triangle that's facing up then is to reinstate the support to Rav. E, Rabbi Nechemya, if you're going to claim that source was according to Rabbi Nechemya, Emo Seifa. State the Seifa of that source, which says, Misha Nosushte Yesoimois, Ketano V'Chareshes. A man is married to two girls that are not related to one another. One is a minor, the other was a deaf mute mace, and the man died. Bo Yavam al Haktano, V'Chozar Ubo al Hachareshes. If he had intimacy, the surviving brother had intimacy with both of them. Or the deceased left two brothers. First brother had intimacy with the minor widow, and the second brother with the chareshes. Ne'esru shtehen alav. They are both forbidden. Ketsa takonoson. Well, then, what should be done? Chareshes Yoytzes Beget. The Chareshes shall be divorced with a divorce document. Just take note again that the Chareshes was the second one to have been taken in, to have had intimacy. And the Ketana Tamtin HaShetagdil V'Tachloitz. With regard to how to free the Ketana, you see, we didn't explain this earlier, but we had learned this much earlier in the Masichta. You're dealing here with these partial kind of marriages, these rabbinic type marriages, so that the subsequent Biyah, the first Biyah, we cannot say was a solid completion of all the Yibum requirements, when in fact a second Biyah, there's room, let's say, when you have a weak type of marriage, if you're dealing with a weak Yibum situation, so there's room for a subsequent action to ruin that which was done previously. So the Ketana also has been ruined by the fact that the Biyah was done with the Chareshes as well. So what do we do with her? So we say with regard to the Ketana, Tamtin ad shetagdil v'tachloitz. Now the analysis. E amris bishlama chareshes knu mishiras ketana knu vene knuya verabonon hi. Now the shitas of rabbonon is that bia psula does not undo the need for chalitza. So if you say that the source that we just read is with that description that the Chareshes is Knui Mishieres and the Ketana is a Safek and it's according to the Rabbonon that Bia Psula does not release from a need for Chalitza, there is a point that we ought to look at in the Rashi as well. Iamris Bishlama, we're looking at the Rashi, there's a star that we've included in the wide lines, about a third of the way down the wide lines. Iamris Bishlama Reisha Gabi Achoyos, the Reisha which featured two sisters, the Kotoni where it said Im Bo Al HaChareshes Noisein Lo Get V'Hutra, that if he had wrongfully married the Yavoma the Chareshes, he is then to give her a get and that frees her. Mishum the Chareshes Knuya Umeshuyeres Uktana Knuya Veinu Knuya. And as we explained, as Rav had said, as Rav Chista said it for Rav, Umimonav Shach, either way you look at it, Chareshes Basar Gito Miftara, the Chareshes after the get will then be freed. E Mishum Achos Isha, maybe the Ketana is a full fledged wife and she, the Chareshes doesn't even need a get. E Mishum Yibuma Shahaya Beheter, or the Ketana wasn't married at all to the deceased and therefore the Chareshes, the Yibum with the Chareshes is a full-fledged Yibum, Shachosa Lo Hoysa Knuya at all. And then the get is a means of course, dismissing a regular wife. Avol, I have Aminon Ibcha. Had we said to the contrary that Ketana Knuya Hiu Mishieres, the Chareshes, the Yavoma, was a Sofek, Su Lo Miftura Chareshes Beget. The Chareshes would not have been dismissed with the get. Dilma knuya hi v'loi nafko mishum achos isha. Maybe the Chareshes, if you describe her as the knuya veina knuya, was a real wife, and she wouldn't be dismissed from Yibum because of the Ketana, on the grounds that the Yavoma is an achos isha. Shekinyan achos haktana mishyeres, it was a partial kind of kinyan, so that, you know, it's a weak kind of wife, so that the Yavama isn't really the sister of a wife. Ubiasa nami lo miftara, the bia done by the Yavama the Chareshes wouldn't have removed the need for anything else. To say that the get would be enough, the bia psula hi, it's a weak kind of bia sherei achos isha hi, because on the side that we said that the ketana was a ketana mishieres was a knuyo mishieres, so there's a partial element of achos isha, so that the bia done with a yavoma that's a partial that's a kind of achos isha, that's not a full fledged bia. U masnisin Rabbonon hi, and the Mishnah is as we are saying is in accordance with the Rabbonon. Umishim hachi kotani seifa, and again by having said that the bia with a woman would have been a bia psula and not releasing from and a bia psula would not then have resulted in the get being sufficient. So everything makes sense. So that the analysis setting up the resha regarding the achayos as we did and not in an opposite fashion makes total sense if you set it up. You set it up according to the Rabbanan. Umishum hachi kotani seifa. Therefore, in the seifa gabi nochrios, it says ktana baya chalitza. The ktana would require chalitza, where in the seifa it had said that if he was born on the chareshes. He was born on the ketana and then born on the chareshes. In that case, we're dealing with these unrelated women. The ketana would still require chalitza, and that viafagav the mimon of shach biasa beheter havoi vegito get gomur mishum gzeira, because of a concern, a rabbinic concern. Dilma kodim uboil chareshes bereisha. We're afraid that. True, our case was a case where the bia was done first with the ketana and then the chareshes. But and the truth is that the bia with the ketana was fine. It was a bia beheter. But we still want a chalitza to be done because of a switch around possibility where a person might have had relations first with the chareshes. As Rashi goes on to say, "V'osi lemeimar nami trevayo lifku beget," and if we would allow, in our case, the get alone, people would think that in the opposite case, they can both be released with a get. Uktano shiach roina, in a case where bia was done first with the chareshes and then with the ktana, lo sagi lo begita, the get wouldn't be enough in that case. Dilma knuyohi, and this of course is following the whole analysis that the ketana is the suffek, is knuyah vena knuyah, maybe she is knuyah. V'ramya kamei, and she is still there as a yevama. And v'dolo iftura b'bias chareshes hamashiras, the bia with the chareshes who was done first in this anticipated case, the bia with the chareshes who was only Meshuyeres, was a partial kind of marriage, that is not enough to remove the Ketana from the scene on the tzad that the Ketana is maybe the full-fledged wife. Ubabia dido nami lo miftara, the bia with the Ketana herself isn't enough either. The bia psulahi, again, the bia with the Ketana in the second position is a bia psula. Dekom ole beisur shnei botim. The problem there is that once you had done bia with the chareshes, that's a type of, let's say, building of the house of the deceased. The bia with the ketana on the grounds that maybe she is the real yavama. So then you're building the house twice, and we say bayis echad yibane velo shnei botim. That's a rule that we've learned earlier in the Masechta. It's like one per customer, so to speak, when it comes to evil. So that the entire analysis, Reisha and Seifa, is very smooth if you accept that it's according to the Rabbonan, not according to Rabbi Nechemia, but according to the Rabbonan, that Bia Psula does not eliminate, remove the need for Chalitza, i.e. that a Bia Psula doesn't remove the original Zika. So let's go back to the Gemara text, and then we'll possibly come back to the Rashi for the continuation. Now, what we're going to do is going to read again from the Iyamris Bishlamah. We're coming off of the source that spoke about a man who had been married to two women unrelated to one another, Iktana and Achareshes, and the source had said that if he had relations with the Iktana and then had with the Achareshes, he's got to get rid of both of them, and the source suggested, or it dictated, that in order to free them, the Chareshes, who we had relations with in second position, she is removed with a get, and the Ketana waits for Chalitza. So now, and now the Gemara, we're going to pick up again and reread what we did. Iyamris Bishlamo Chareshes Knuyu Mishieres. If you say that is the description of the Chareshes that's only partial, and Ketana Knuyu Venikunin, the Ketana was a total, so it was an issue of a suffix, all or nothing. V'rabbonan hi, and it's in accordance with the Rabbonan. Mishum hochi, therefore we can understand tamtin ad shetagdil v'tachlots. We want the Yevoma, we want the Ktana to wait until she becomes adult and does Chalitza as well. And as we saw in the Rashi, the source as it stated, where the relations took place with the Ktana first, in fact, a get would be enough. But the source indicates, wait, we want the Ketana also to do Chalitza. In other words, we want the Ketana to wait and do Chalitza. Why do we want that Chalitza done? The Dilma Kodim Uboil Chareshes Beresha. We're anticipating a switch around. So that in this switch around case, which we'll read again in the Gemara, the Dilma Kodim Uboyil Chareshes Beresha. The indication in the source for the Chalitza by the Ketana is in anticipation of the fellow having had intimacy first with the Chareshes, that is, according to Rav, of course, Knuya Umishuyeres, the Havya Law Bio the Ketana Bio Psula. The Bia with the Ketana in the second position would have been then a Bia Psula. And and as such, the Zika remains. In order to undo a Zika, you then must have the Chalitza. So the source that made reference to the Chalitza for the Ketana was in anticipation, it was a Gzera, even in a case where the Bia was done first with the Ketana, and as we said there, Mimonav Shachar was a full-fledged kosher good Bia, because either this was a full-fledged wife or a nothing. If it's a full-fledged wife, so that's a total Yibum, and then a get would be sufficient, and if the Ketana was not married at all, so she was a stranger, and the marriage to her was a full-fledged marriage, and a get would be enough. So why did the source insist on having the Ketana do Chalitza as well, in anticipation of this situation? Elo, Iyamris Rabbi Nechemyah. But if you're going to say that the source was according to Rabbi Nechemyah, like you tried to say where we had our inverted triangle, Ha Omar, but he says Biopsula Potra, that Biopsula is sufficient for removing any need for Chalitza. But the source didn't say that. The source said that Tamtin Ad Shetagdil V'Tachlots. Elo Shma Mino Rabbonan Hi. Shma Mino. From the fact that the source indicated the need for the Ketana to wait and receive Chalitza as well, that shows us that we're working with the Rabbonan. It's Shitas Rabbonan, and not like was claimed before that it was Shitas Rabbi Nechemyah, that Bia Psula is enough to remove the Chalitza. Omar Rav Ashi. May Reisha Nami Shma Mino the Rabbonan Hi. Dikotoni. Rav Ashi says from the Reisha, from the case of the Achoyos, we can also see like Rav, and like we're explaining that the source is according to the Rabbonan. Rav Ashi is simply trying to strengthen this point that the source is not Rabbi Nechemyah, but according to the Rabbonan, that Bia Psula does not remove the need for Chalitza. The Katani, We have an arrow if you want to see where this quote is coming from. It says in the source above, in Bo al Hachareshes, no sane law get vahutra. The case, just to review, the husband of the Hareshis died, leaving a Hareshis Yavoma. So and you were dealing with two sisters. So the surviving brother, who's married to the sister of this Hareshis, he can't do Yibum with the Hareshis. But his own wife, we say, she is divorced with a get, because maybe she's not considered married at all, and the Hareshis has this, we'll call this partial Zika, and you can't stay married to her sister. And the Hareshis we saw above was Asur Li Olam. There was nothing that could be done with her. Marriage, we said, couldn't be done, and that means Yibum could not be done because of the Achos Isha problem, and Chalitza could not be done because she's a Hareshis. And the source said, Vim Bo Ala Hareshis, no sane law get Vahutra. If he did have relations with the Hareshis, so then a get would be enough. So that's what it said in the source, that in this contingency situation, if he had relations with the Hareshis, so then he'll have to give her a get, and that frees her. For Lo Kotoni, it doesn't say in that source, Im bo al haktano, no sein lo get vahutra. In that same source, dealing with the shtei achoyos, the reisha, the first part of that source, had mentioned a case of meis bailo shel ktana, where the husband of the minor died, leaving the ktana as the avoma. And in that section, you didn't have the same continuation as you see at the end of that section, where we featured the second case of meis bailo shel hareshis. So that in that case, it doesn't say Im bo, we're reading in the Gemara four lines from the bottom, it doesn't say in the case of meis bailo shel ktana that im bo al ktana, if he the husband of the Hareshis would have had relations with the ktana, no sein lo get vahutra. And it doesn't say that. Why does it not say that? Because in that case, the relations with the ktana would have been a bia psula, on the grounds that she is the sister of his Hareshis wife, who was described as Kenuya Umishuyeres. So the Ketana would be, the relations with the Ketana would have been forbidden, and hence we call that a Bia Psula. And it doesn't say in that source, just like we saw in the case of Meis Bailo Shel Hareshis, of No Sein Lo Get Vahutra. Here you would have a case of a Bia Psula, and it doesn't say that. So what do we see from that? We see that, in fact, a Bia Psula is not freed from the need for Chalitza. To appreciate this a little more, we'll look at the Rashi together. Four lines from the bottom. Shma mino rabbonon hi, dekotoni gabi meis bailo shel hareshis, im bo al hareshis, no sein lo get. In the case of the Hareshis being the Avoma, so we said that if the Baal HaKtana wrongfully had intimacy with the Hareshis, he gives her a get, and that's enough. And we already explained that since the Hareshis is described as Kenuya Mishuyeres, the get works Mimonavshach. If the Ktana is a full-fledged wife, so the Hareshis is out of the picture to begin with. And if the Ktano is nothing, so then the Bia with the Hareshis would have been Yibum, and again, once again, would dismiss her as a regular wife. Rashi goes on, Vagabi Meis Bailo Shel Ktano, in the case, in the early part of that source, where the Ktano was the Avoma de Kotoni, Ktano Tamtin, it said in that source that the Ktano should wait until she becomes a gdola and does chalitza. V'lo kotoni, it doesn't say in that section, im bo al haktano, if the the Tana who was the Avoma was then had intimacy with the Bala Chareshes, no saying lo get behutra, that giving of the get would be enough. Almo Rabbonani. That shows us the absence of that clause. Imbog Tana Nosla get behutra shows us that that's according to the Rabbonan. Umishum hachilo nafko beget. The get given to the Ketana would not have worked. The Bi'osa P'sula, the Bi'o with the Ketana would be classified as Bi'o P'sula. The Chareshes, K'nuba Mixas, the Chareshes who was the wife was a partial wife. The Zoo, the Ketana Asura Mishum Achos Isha, she was Asur. She's Asur to have to do Yibum with her. She's a sister of the Chareshes. Mi yibum lo mitcha, to suggest that the Ketana is totally no zika and she's pushed out of yibum and there's no yibum, that's not true either. She's not nitcha from yibum. Dilmo Ketana knu kula, could be that that Ketana, the yavama, the widow, was a full fledged wife. The kinyan mishuyeres dachosa lo dochila, the knu mishuyeres of the chareshes wouldn't push off a full fledged zika. So that the bia with the ktana is in fact a bia psula, and therefore the source did not want to teach that if he had relations with the ktana, then give her a get, because the get would not have been enough. That is like the Rabbanan. And yet the Gemara comes back and says, "E mishum ha lo irya." If that is your proof, the Gemara says to Ravashi, that from the Reisha, from the case of the Choyas, you see this, you see that it is definitively according to the Rabbanan. That's not proof. The source gave us the situation of Imbal Chareshes, where the Chareshes was the Yavama, and if he had relations with the Chareshes, so it said what it said. Chareshes de leslo takanto de hetero, the Chareshes, which has no way of being matir her under heter circumstances. If you go back to the source, you see there's a base where it said meis pilot shel chareshes, the husband of the chareshes. We're dealing with the case of the two sisters. So the husband that was married to the chareshes died. The chareshes was the yavama. It said there, Ketana, the Ketana goes out with a get, and the Chareshes, the Yavama, there's nothing you can do with her. You see, with her, you can't have Bia with her, because she's also, there's a problem of Achos Isha, and you can't do Chalitza with her because she is a Chareshes. So she's Asur Liolam. So as far as freeing the Chareshes under heter circumstances, there is nothing. There's nothing to do. However, if an Avera takes place, this maybe sounds a little ironic, but if an Avera takes place, then we can give her the get and she goes free, as we said, Mimonav Shach. So the Chareshes that has no takon of heter, so Kotoni takanta di sura. So out of, we'll say, default, the source has to teach us a takona for a solution. Under usur circumstances. Ketana, however, the islo takanto de hetera, in the Reisha case, in the first part of the Achoyos source where the Ketana was the Avoma, there's a heter way of releasing her. Namely, she waits till she becomes a Gedola and does Chalitza. That will release the Ketana, the Avoma. Definitely, you know, as if the Ketana is a full-fledged wife, so the Chalitza, she was a full-fledged wife and a full-fledged widow, so the Yavama, that is, so the Chalitza would work. And if it's if she's not related, she doesn't need anything to begin with. So therefore, the Ketana, which had a takon of heter, lo toni takanta di sura, it didn't want to teach a case of Isser, but it could have, and it could have had a case of Imbo Alaktano, no saying lo get for Hutra, and that the source could very well be, if you're proving everything just from that point, it could have been, according to Rimei Chebia, that Bia Psula is Niftara, the Bia Psula Poteras Michalitza. So that at the end of the story, as far as the Gemara, without getting without restating the entire mahalach of the Gemara, as far as what Rav Ashi was trying to accomplish, to prove that the sources according to the Rabbanan from that which you saw by the case of the Achoyos, that is not conclusive proof. However, as far as the original analysis of Rav is concerned, let's say that, putting that aside, the Gemara had felt that you could show that the source is in accordance with the Rabbanan, and as Rav Shesha said originally, that the analysis provided by Rav Chisna, the name of Rav, that the Chareish is a Knui Mesheres and the Ketana is Knui Veni Knuya, would be, you could support that. Once again, if you want to try to grant full support to that also from the ratio, then we saw that that would be a point of weakness. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.